You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our Thursday visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here, Greg. Thank you.
Well, every April 15th, of course, is the deadline for filing federal income taxes. Once again, it was a major day this year, but this time it was also coinciding with tea parties at scores of locations around the country. People upset with the level of government spending and taxation. A lot of people turned out, John, but the question is this a one-time event or the start of a movement?
It's definitely the start of a movement, and the fact that you had a number of potential Republican presidential candidates addressing these rallies show that Republicans feel it might be a ticket for them back to the White House. Newt Gingrich spoke to a crowd of 2,000 in New York. South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford spoke to two Tea Parties in the Palmetto State, and a crowd in Cincinnati drew 4,000. The most original sign was Barney Frank and Bernie Madoff, and the difference is ... Democrats call this, quote, a tired old line of attack. But that tired old line of attack showed some vibrancy the other day. More than 250,000 people nationwide came to pick up where their forefathers started with tea and talk of taxation without representation. I might add that Facebook, Twitter, talk show hosts, and all of the conservative movement groups were very involved and enthusiastic in this. I haven't seen anything like it since the Panama Canal fight in the 1970s or the support for tax cuts that came about in the 1980s and were signed finally into law by President Ronald Reagan in 1981. I say it's alive, and politicians quite soon are going to be saying, tea time, anyone?
John, let's move on to a couple other issues now. One is the longstanding policy towards Cuba, which was adjusted this week. The president easing travel restrictions as well as the flow of money into Cuba. Fidel Castro says it's still not good enough. He wants the whole embargo lifted. What do you make of what the president did and the apparent movement towards eventually lifting that embargo?
Well, let's just sift through the newspaper reports and get down to the facts. As I did in an interview with former Secretary of Commerce Gutierrez himself, a refugee from Cuba as a small child in 1960. As he pointed out, Castro is getting an offer of one carrot at this point, and that is now unlimited travel by relatives of Cuban coming into the country. The United States, in return, has asked for lifting the barriers to cell phone and computer service for people so they can communicate with one another, and an end to the 20% remittances of cash brought in for families. Then they will consider the next step, which I presume will be the lifting of the embargo. It will be very interesting to see that while Barack Obama has offered a carrot, Fidel Castro has done nothing but blunder and says he wants an entire dinner from it. If he would deal and show some willingness to compromise and some willingness to give some degree of freedom, maybe there could be discussion. But as Secretary Gutierrez said, he's not going to do it. He hates America too much.
John, let's talk about another issue in Latin America. The president just today heading to Mexico City to meet with the president of Mexico, Mr. Calderon, and obviously the issue of the drug violence spilling into the United States and in many U.S. cities, as a matter of fact. What do you expect of substance, if anything, to come out of these talks?
Not too much, quite frankly. The war on our border, as it's called, has been going on for some time, and President Calderon has been fearless in trying to stand up to the drug lord, the gangsters, the bandidos who have plagued this country for a long time, and operate almost as though there was no law and order. When Calderon's interior minister talked about a war on crime, he was assassinated in Mexico City last year. My guess is the United States will give strong verbal support to President Calderon. And, of course, U.S. business, as Business Week reported last week, continues to seek new opportunities south of the border. That in spite of a socialist government that has never really devolved. But in terms of ending the crime and ending the violent waves, I don't see it for a long time, very sadly.
We're talking with John Gizzi, political editor of Human Events. And, John, the immigration debate is about to flare up here again. The Obama administration probably bringing forth a reform package sometime in the next few weeks, if not the next few months. There is a order from the Department of Homeland Security that's getting a lot of attention this week that says law enforcement officials should watch out for people who are vehemently opposed to illegal immigration as well as abortion and who are very much pro-Second Amendment, and to watch out for returning veterans being recruited for violent activities by what they call extremist groups. What's the fallout of this, even though the Secretary Janet Napolitano seems to be backtracking as quickly as she can?
She certainly is. When the report was initially leaked, she said that it was a study and not an accusation. But then yesterday she told CNN, when she was in Mexico City, that she was aware of the criticism, particularly from the commanders of the American Legion and the veterans of foreign wars, and she apologized for the characterization of the men and women who served in uniform. My guess is this is an old scarecrow that they dust off every few years, going back to the bonus marchers who camped out in Washington during the Depression, to the accusations that veterans were trying to organize a military coup against the Roosevelt administration in the mid-30s, to similar charges over the years that you really can't trust those who get out of uniform and go back into civilian society. I've heard it all before. It's never been shown to have any merit. It has none now. Napolitano was right to apologize, and she should seek out who did that report, and if not fire them, get them to apologize as well.
John, last 30 seconds here. The Minnesota Senate race still not officially over yet, although the latest ruling once again favors Democrat Al Franken. Norm Coleman, the Republican, won the initial count. Franken wins the recount and the challenge. It may go to Minnesota's high court. Time for Coleman to hang it up, or are there still issues worth fighting over here?
There certainly are issues worth fighting for, and I tend to agree with the Senate Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, who called for patience at this point but a firm count. There is yet to be an entire count, and remember, the special three-judge panel ordered that only 400 new absentee ballots be counted, which slightly increased the lead of Mr. Franken. Mr. Coleman's campaign under attorney Ben Ginsburg was calling for many more to be opened, and now they'll take their course to the fullest extent of the law, the state Supreme Court of the Gopher State. My guess is Minnesota's gotten by for 4 months now without a second senator. They'll get by a few more.
John, unfortunately, that's the last word. Thanks for being with us.
Sitting here on a lovely day on Capitol Hill and watching all the action, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. This is Dateline Washington.